This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at cattle markets for week ending December 18th. Well, cattle markets this week continue to have a firm tone to them, even despite cash markets a little shaky. Box beef has been shaky for weeks now, and yet the futures market has basically just held together very well, chopping around in a sideways pattern to just slightly pushing its way higher in the live cattle trade, where we put in a kind of a swing low in early December. And for the last week and a half, we've just been slowly working our way higher. Feeder cattle, a similar story, sort of. They've been a little bit more choppy with not quite as much energy as the live cattle markets. But live cattle are back up to the highs that we saw in early November and appear to be at least on those front months. And in fact, the back months are pushing above those November highs, especially in the further deferred months of the June. Aprils are right at those highs, whereas the front month, decent Feb, are not quite to those highs yet. In the cash market this week, it looks like the Fed trade is going to average right around 106, and that would be down 1 from last week. Dress trade around 165 would be down 3. The box beef values, after seeing one day of higher prices in the last 3 weeks, dropped back down on the choice today on Friday, down 88 cents at 209. Select was up 57 cents at 194. So the spread dropped 145. We're sitting at 1436. Movement was 115 loads. The feeder cattle index was up $1.29 at 138.48. So we see that the cash trade, again, you know, from the live cattle perspective, the cash has been under some pressure. The box beef has dropped significantly over the last 3 weeks, and it contributed to obviously the pressure in the cash price. But feeder cattle have done quite remarkably well despite the weakness in live cattle, and despite a feed grain market that just consistently moving higher as well and has all the look of a market that's about to really break out to the top side. World feed grain prices continue to move higher. The U.S. is becoming more competitive in the export market. We're seeing more demand shift back to the United States as Brazil and Argentina endure some drought type of issues. And we're seeing a strike in Argentina slow down corn and soy meal exports. So demand is pushing soybeans in particular higher, but also corn has been consistently strong as well, which has supported wheat, but by itself, the corn market is hovering near contract highs, and again, looks poised to have a breakout to the top side. But feeder cattle continue to perform well. Demand is strong. Feedlots looking for replacement cattle as they clear out some pens. They are current, and what we can see from the dress weights that are continuing to come down. They're still above a year ago, but they've been working their way lower over the last couple weeks. And it does appear that feedlots have finally found some stability here. It's been such a disruptive year, you know, for everybody, but feedlots got hit pretty hard too with the sudden drop in demand for live cattle as earlier this spring, as COVID worked its way through packing plants, shutting them down, and it just backed up a million plus cattle that took months to work their way back into the pipeline and get processed. So we were always working with those bigger numbers, huge weights, which kept us, 30 pounds above last year for weeks and weeks through the summer and into the fall. Now it appears we're through those numbers and we're back into kind of more of a normal feedlot supply situation. The Cattle on Feed report this afternoon pretty much confirms that, with total on-feed numbers as of December 1st at 100% of a year ago at 12.036 million head. That's the largest supply since 2011, but again, it still shows that feedlots are in a much more stable position, and it was a number that was right at trade expectations. Placements were 1.9 million head. That was 91% of a year ago, just 1 point below what the trade expectation was. Marketings were 1.7 million head. 98% of a year ago, and that was right in line with trade expectations. So it's pretty much a neutral report because everything was right on or very close to pre-release expectations. It also shows that we're going to be looking at some notably declining numbers as we get into the second quarter of next year. So the first quarter, we're dealing with some increased numbers from skewed placements through late summer, early fall. And we expect that we'll see the bulk of those in February. Now, what has been a bonus or an advantage is that the weather in the Southern Plains has been very good throughout the fall and early winter. And we're looking at cattle that have performed very well. They're converting great. They've even pulled a lot of those forward early in December, late November, pulling a lot of cattle forward that in response to just huge increase in box beef values from very strong retail demand. We've talked about this before, that grocery stores were worried about running out of beef again like they did last spring because it looked like we were headed for another shutdown. That really has not materialized. And so they found themselves to be long quite a bit of beef. And that's why box beef values have dropped the way they have, along with the normal seasonal factors of tending to peak in early December anyway. So we're dealing with box beef values that have come more in line and packer profits that are more along the historical levels rather than sky high levels. And everything just seems to be kind of falling back into more of a normal type of market. Once we've balanced ourselves out with the skewed placements, the skewed marketings, we're now getting more into the normal situation. Now, as we move forward, obviously cattle and feed reports are going to be reflective and compared to the previous year. Well, it was starting right about February, and then March and April were the worst months, March, April, May, right in there, of the major disruptions to the cattle market. So cattle and feed reports are going to be even more skewed still as we work our way forward and compare them to a year ago. But for the most part, we've worked through the major disruptions that hit the market, and we're back into more alignment. The placement pattern being down so sharply from a year ago, you know, normally you see your biggest placements in September. We saw a big drop this year, largely because of a huge drop in imports from Mexico. I think part of that is two reasons. One, that the drought in Mexico that hit the southern plains in the United States, and in particular Southwest in the summer, pushed a lot of those calves into the United States early. So that was part of the big placements that we saw as we worked our way through the late summer and early fall. And also, the declining dollar just makes it more expensive. So we're seeing a drop into that normal placement pattern of the fall. Again, some of those were done early, and some of it's just too expensive to do. So that's going to show up as we work our way into the second quarter of next year. So it looks like we'll see quite a bit of beef being produced in the first quarter, and in particular February. And then you see a sudden shift where normally you get an increase in market-ready cattle and beef production in June, and that coincides with a drop in beef demand. It looks like this year would be the opposite. It kind of seems to be honing in on April, May, where you'll see the biggest drop in market-ready cattle. And that should support the market deeper. Normally, it's mid-March to mid-April that we see our seasonal highs. Most likely, that will extend into probably early May. Just looking that the way things sit here, presuming you don't get too much major disruptions from Mother Nature in the Southern Plains or Central Plains, both feeding areas, but also just a normal marketing pattern. So we go from a lot of cattle in the first quarter to a significant drop in the second quarter. And obviously the market's already pricing that in. We're presuming demand will be steady. That actually is kind of a big presumption considering the struggle with the economy and struggling to get, you know, the COVID vaccine rolled out and get back to normal. That's obviously going to take more time, but hopefully by then we'll be in a little bit better position. So that's kind of where we're at with the cattle complex for now. There's certainly upward momentum. There does appear to be, you know, solid buying when we get the breaks in cattle. So I would look for markets probably to extend a little bit more to the upside in a kind of a contra-seasonal type of pattern. Normally we get a lot of feeder cattle selling after the first of the year, so kind of be prepared for that. But as feedlots empty out and you get a lot of movement, an out movement in that first quarter, there's going to be good demand, I think, for cattle to be placed, unless feed grain prices really take off to the upside, which is a possibility considering the drought in South America. So just be aware of that as well. But I think rallies into that first quarter would set up for some good opportunities, get some hedges in place. If you have any questions, feel free to call a 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.